Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Graphic development unfolded a short time ago outside the courthouse holding former U.S. President Donald Trump's historic criminal trial. Multiple news organizations reporting that a man apparently set himself on fire. The motive remains unclear. The incident outside the courthouse took place minutes after a full jury was selected in Trump's trial on hush money payments in New York. 12 jurors and now 6 alternates selected. Next phase is opening statements. Trump is the first former president in U.S. history to stand trial on criminal charges. A New York case is the first of 4 indictments to go to trial. The U.S. House has further advanced a $95 billion aid package that includes aid for Israel and Ukraine. Final vote will be held tomorrow on 4 separate bills. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson.
Even though it's not the perfect legislation, it's not the legislation that we would write if Republicans were in charge of both the House, the Senate, and the White House, this is the best possible product that we can get under these circumstances to take care of these really important obligations.
Meanwhile, U.S. official confirms Israel conducted a missile strike on Iran overnight. Iran says it shot down an incoming object and there was no damage or injuries. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is defending a U.S. veto in the U.N. Security Council. It blocked a recommendation to upgrade the status of the Palestinians at the United Nations. Here's NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
The U.S. was alone in vetoing a resolution that would have recommended that the, quote, state of Palestine become a full member of the United Nations. Secretary Blinken says this wasn't the right time to recognize a Palestinian state.
You can put something down on a piece of paper and wave it around. It has no effect. What does and can have an effect is actual diplomacy, working to achieve these agreements.
He says he's been working on a broad diplomatic plan to help Israel normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. As part of that, he says, there would need to be calm in Gaza and a clear pathway to a Palestinian state. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Russia launched an attack on railway infrastructure in central Ukraine. Here's NPR's Polina Litvinova.
This morning, Russian forces hit railway infrastructure in the cities of Dnipro, Senelnikova, and Kryvyi Rih in the Dnipro region. Residential buildings were damaged as well. Among the victims who were killed and wounded are children. Because of the strikes, the railway station in Dnipro suspended service for several hours. Trains are now running again, but some are significantly delayed. Ukraine's president Volodymyr Zelensky reacted to the attack on his Telegram channel. He wrote that every missile and drone should be shut down, and the world can guarantee this, added Zelensky, recalling how allies helped Israel to repel a drone and missile attack by Iran last weekend. Polina Litvinova, NPR News, Kyiv.
This is NPR. Millions of voters in India are casting their ballots today as the world's biggest democracy holds elections. NPR's Dia Hadid has more from Northwest India.
Voting is staggered over the next 6 weeks, so poll workers can set up voting machines for nearly a billion eligible voters. They'll trek over soaring Himalayan passes and trudge through remote jungles. Towns like Dosa in the northwestern state of Rajasthan cast their ballots in the first phase of voting. Many dressed in fancy clothes to cast their vote. One man turned up in his wedding finery. Analysts expect the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who leads the ruling Hindu nationalist BJP party, to win a third back-to-back term in power. He's been campaigning all over India, including dusty towns like Dosa. But critics say these elections are also skewed to Modi, with the cheerleading media, crackdowns on opposition, and his party receiving hundreds of millions of dollars from a now outlawed anonymous donation scheme. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Dosa.
Today's the last day for workers at a VW plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to vote on whether they want to join the United Auto Workers Union. A win would be a big deal for the UAW, which recently scored victories in agreements with Detroit's Big Three automakers and is hoping to expand its presence in the southern U.S. However, state and local officials have warned that unionizing the VW plant in Tennessee could deter new business investments and cost jobs. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.